Welcome to a special episode of the Anan podcast run by the MISC Foundation. We are here at the MISC Global Forum in Abjeri, and as you can see, the location slightly has changed. We have beautiful rain blessing us today. So we also have a beautiful guest, by the way. So we are in a new location, showing agility, dynamic nature of youth. We're just on the run. The Anan broadcast brings together beautiful experts from around the world and from the kingdom, from different professions and expertise, to share their wisdom with the youth. And honestly, we use it as a platform to get youth questions answered. Today, our guest is an incredibly special guest. I have with me Robert Hurtubek, the Shark, from ABC's Shark Tank. Robert.
Thank you for having me, and congratulations on pivoting.
Thank you.
Changing location.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. What a great event.
Thank you so much. You had your session earlier this opening session this afternoon. How was it?
I was amazed. The interest, it's so dynamic. It was very short.
Yeah.
But some great questions. People really want to do better.
Yeah.
Especially awesome. Young people here.
By the way, it's intentionally short. Actually,
most
of our sessions are on the stage, do not exceed 30 minutes because youth attention span is also quite short. So we're just keeping
well,
it.
Well, patience is a virtue,
it is.
Lean.
It is. Our sessions are a bit longer in actually some of the other locations, which we'll show you hopefully later. Fun fact, I wanted to go through the questions with Robert, and Robert was like, nope, I'm good. Let's just, we want this
Let's
to be as natural as possible.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I read about Robert. We all watched Robert for many years on Shark Tank. We always hear he is the Croatian businessman who's built himself up. And I wanted to kind of start from that very beginning and the origins of the story of Robert. So I'll start off with my first question. We often become who we are based on what we've been through in our childhood and in our past. You are...
Wow, that's so well said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are Croatian-Canadian. But as someone who has uprooted from your culture and heritage from a very young age, what culture do you identify most with, and how has it shaped your view of yourself and the world around you?
Gosh, that's such a great question. I think we end up becoming the people we always were. Meaning, I think I've spent a lifetime trying to escape my culture.
Okay.
Almost embarrassed of my culture. Mm. And partly my family, we came from Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. from a communist country, mm. and we're very poor. And I think a lot of young people, you know, my dad was an embarrassing guy, mm. meaning my dad wasn't cool.
Yeah.
So when I went to school, I was probably embarrassed of my parents, and I hate to say that, mm. but you know, they were old, mm-hmm. they didn't understand stuff. And now as I get older and I have life experience, I realize how hard they worked to give me the opportunity. So I think we begin to appreciate the things that we've been given. And for me, I always felt I needed to succeed to justify their sacrifice. Somebody
wow.
worked really hard for me to have the opportunity. So when I was 21 and I was 22 and my friends wanted to go to a disco, you don't know what that is because you're too young.
My parents tell me what that is.
Ah, ha, ha. When they wanted to go to a rave, I wouldn't go. I'd go sometimes, but I'd work all the time. And it wasn't for me. I felt the weight on my shoulders for my family, for my culture to be successful. And now I identify more with the world than I do with any one place. I'm proud of where I was born. Mm. I'm proud of having grown up in Canada. Mm. I'm proud of my business in America. I'm proud of my business in India, in England. But I think what's done for me is I have no vision of where you came from. I have a vision of your potential and your possibility. So don't tell me about what circumstances you're in today. Tell me what you want to do, how you want to change your situation.
Robert, you said so many things that I can quote. So thank you for that amazing answer. And I think it's incredible that where you came from, or where we all come from, which may sometimes seem like a disadvantage, is exactly what got you where you are.
Oh my gosh, Lynn. So well said. You know, when I was younger, everything in my life I saw as a disadvantage. Mm. And I wanted to fit in with everyone else. What I realized today, part of why I am who I am, is because I was different. And I began to embrace that. And I have to tell you, I've been here for a day and a half now. The dynamicism, the pace of change here, and the desire from the people I've met here is tangible. Like, it's incredible to be young in an environment where you're encouraged to do this. When I was 22, I started my first business. And I came home and I said to my mother, I'm starting a business. And my mom said, oh, Robert, don't worry. You get job one day. Because the only people who started businesses where I came from were people who couldn't get a job. And the people who ran businesses were either criminals or doing something shady, like it wasn't entrepreneurism. Yeah. You walk around here, there's a sense of pride.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think it's easier to do something you're proud of than something that you have to battle for.
I mean, even if it's something that maybe you are proud of, if the people that you care about, the closest to you, that give you that sense of like,
yes.
I feel like there's always that slight sense of doubt, like, are they right?
Never underestimate our need to make our family proud the love that goes with that. God. Like, I look back now and lean, I've worked so hard in my life. Like, you can't imagine. One time I was doing a proposal for a customer, this is a long time ago, and the customer said to me, can you put it in an Excel spreadsheet? And I want the pivot tables to look like this and that. Mm. And I said, absolutely. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have never used Excel. I went home that night. I stayed up all night learning how to do it, and I just did it. And I think a big part of that was trying to make my family proud of me because they did so much for me. And to be in an environment where your family would be proud of you to start a business or be an entrepreneur, especially as a woman, by the way, because in general, especially in North America, we don't have that. In Canada, only 6% of startups are started by women that get funding.
Yes. I think I think this is a general, let's say, a challenge. I think with the ecosystem, Saudi as well is kind of working on in not only ensuring that women are in the workforce, but also starting their own businesses. So we are maybe getting a little bit better at this, but it's still a challenge. You spoke about family. My actual next question was about family, and I love that you are speaking about family so much because while the theme this year of the MGF is the big now, we cannot remove ourselves from not only where we've come from, but the people that have supported us from the beginning and continue to do so.
Of course.
All the way till the end. And from what I know, a lot of your father's teachings have impacted your life, and I'm sure your mother as well, and they both played an instrumental role in kind of developing the guiding principles to your life. Can you tell us a little bit more about these principles?
Yeah, it's funny. I always talk about my dad, and one time my godfather came to a speech of mine, and he said, how come you never talk about your mom? And I felt so bad. But, you know, my mom was just the nicest, most loving human being you can imagine. And I'm an only child, but I learned a lot from my dad, from the discipline and the desire. It was a more traditional family. You know, my dad's job was to take care of us. Not that my mom didn't, but it was just a different environment. I just think that I've never met anyone who worked as hard as my dad. He left a country where he didn't speak the language. He left at 37. He got thrown in jail 22 times, and we finally left in the middle of the night. But he went to a country at 37 where he didn't know anybody with one suitcase and me. And people always say, oh, it must have been hard for you. And I'm thinking, I was 8 years old. I was on a boat. I literally came on a boat lean. I always say to my wife, you didn't marry an immigrant. You married a guy right off the boat. But I think it's just that work ethic. I think it's the work ethic and never complaining. The thing I learned from my mom was I went to school one day, and I came home, and I was in tears. We were immigrants, and people weren't nice to me. And I said to my mom, why is everyone so much better than me? Why doesn't anybody like me? And my mom said to me, never forget in life, you are no human being is better than you, but you are no better than any other human being. And every person of value, you have to find something interesting in. And there's a great quote I read a long time ago, which is, the most fascinating thing you will ever find in life is another human being.
That's beautiful.
It's true. Like, look at the amazing people that are the tapestry of our lives. And what is business? Business is about communicating a value, a good, a service, a product to another human being.
That's amazing. Sometimes we work so hard and we get to places, and sometimes these places, I don't know, we start seeing the world a little bit differently. We're like, oh, we got here because I did this and I did that and I did it. And then you don't look to the person next to you who has sometimes an incredible story to tell, but that just, you didn't give them the chance to.
Well, it's funny. It's so true. You know, and the hard thing about business is we all know somebody who isn't nice.
Yeah.
Money sees no color. Money sees no background. Money sees no culture. And I have friends who are real, well, they're not my friends, but I know people who are real jerks and are still very successful in business. Mm. I would say to you, that's an anomaly. Because most people I know are very nice, because to build something great, you need to bring other people along. Mm. Who's going to want to work with you if you're a jerk? Mm. Who's going to work with you if they don't have the opportunity?
What, in this world, what would you define as nice? Is it like just saying please or saying thank you? Or is it, I mean, having reached where you reached, is it that you have to give back to people?
Boy, that's no one's ever asked me that. That's such a great question.
This was actually not in the script, but I don't know.
I would say, you know, in America, my dad wanted to come to America.
So he knew.
We didn't get to America because he applied. We crossed the border to Italy. Mm. He went to the American embassy and they didn't take him because he was an immigrant with no opportunity. Mm. So they said to him, if you go down the hall, we hear the Canadians will take anyone.
You're kidding.
I'm not. And that's how we ended up in Canada. But the reason he wanted to come to America is the American dream. Errol Flynn, cowboy movies. What I've learned is it's not the American dream. Because that wasn't my dream. I'm not American. Mm. I'm Canadian. I'm Croatian. I live in America. I live in London. I live in Australia. It is the human condition. It is the human condition to want to better your life. I don't think any human being wakes up and says, I want my life to suck. People want to do better. They want to do better for themselves, for their families. And so I think being nice is about giving people the opportunity. All we're owed in life is an opportunity. Mm. And I think the better I do, the bigger my business becomes. I want to give people more opportunity. What they do with it, though, is up to them. So people confuse nice as being overtly nice. I'm not going to make you successful. I'm going to create a company that's going to give you an opportunity. And if you want to take that opportunity, you want to better your life, go for it. If you're lazy and you don't want to do it, that's up to you.
So tell me about that. How did this, your motivation to wanting to give people opportunity lead you to where you are now as, you know, a very respected entrepreneur and investor and businessman?
Well, I think the first thing is, because nobody ever gave me an opportunity, and I was always looked at as less. Because I was an immigrant, because I didn't speak the language, because I was short, because I was funny looking. Like, all, there was always a reason why I didn't have the right family, the right connections, the right opportunity. So I always said, if I ever make it, whatever that means, I'm going to give people opportunity. So in our company, we, on my executive team, 70% of the, my executives are women. Wow. And it's not that I went out to hire women. I went out to hire the best people possible. And so I said, we're always going to give people opportunity regardless of race, color, sex, or anything like that. And so but I will say I'm in a business where there's 0% unemployment. So in my industry, in tech, you can't be successful by judging others. You can only judge value.
I was going to ask you, what do you look for? What qualities do you look for to invest in people? But before I do that, I want to double click on why 70% of your executive team is women. What qualities do you look for when you hire people?
It's a great question. We just did this. So we are the only company in tech at scale where that's true. Like, we are the shining example of that. The quality I look... There's an old saying, when I first started out in business, I didn't know anything. I have a degree in classical English literature. And there was this old saying that said, you should never hire somebody you can't get along
with. Side note, that's amazing.
It's amazing. That,
I mean, also the fact that you have a degree in English literature and you moved to a country that you didn't speak its language.
It's funny, because when I went to university, a funny story, Lane, I told my dad, I'm going to study English literature. I was the first person in my generation, my dad and mom, to go to university. Okay. So they were so proud of me. And my dad says, let you go in the study. I said, I'm going to study English. And he's like, you idiot, you speak English. So that's another story. But what was your question?
What do you look for? What qualities do you look for? Yeah.
So there's an old saying that you shouldn't hire somebody you couldn't sit next to on a transatlantic flight.
Okay.
That was the guidance I was given.
Is that the Croatian thing?
No, that's in America. People say you should always hire people that you like or you're going to get along with.
Okay.
It's so not true. A great team is not a bunch of people that necessarily like each other. A great team is a group of individuals that respect each other's talent. So I have a guy who's worked with me for 30 years at three different companies. I've been at his house for dinner twice. We're just different. The things he likes, I don't like. What he wants to do, I don't want to do. But in what he does, I think he's the best person in the world. And I have huge amount of respect and trust for him. So we look for people that are great at the talent that we need. We never looked at what they look like, their education, or any of that
kind
of stuff.
Is it just their technical expertise?
No, it's their aptitude. We always hire for aptitude first. We want people that smile. Like, you have an incredible smile. You're joyous. You project joy. And we look for people that are
so the personality
pleasant.
Doesn't make a difference.
Huge. Yeah. And it's not the way they dress necessarily. It's just their demeanor. So we look for that, and we look for the ability to communicate.
Okay.
Even if you're the smartest person in the world, if you can't tell me about what you do, it doesn't really matter. We also find that there's a there's a clarity of purpose for us with most of the women we've hired. Meaning they tend to know what they want from their career. They tend to be more balanced, I'm generalizing, but they also tend to pause before they act. The bigger your company gets, the harder it is to churn. And so you don't want people running your business that are waking up one day and saying, ooh, we're going to go left. Mm. Ooh, we're going to go right. Mm. I'm all about action, but it has to be purposeful and thoughtful.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's actually very helpful. For me and for many of the youth, kind of in positions where they're hiring people or even those entrepreneurs that are looking to find the right people to help them on their entrepreneurship journey. We spoke about people yesterday as well, and one of the questions I opened the first session on in the forum, and I had a panel of three youth with me, and one of the questions was, what are like key tips you suggest or do you think is imperative for people to achieve their big now, their big reality? And one of the things that everyone agreed on was the right companion or the right people with you. So that's really interesting. And I feel like the answer to this might be different. So when you're looking for people to invest in, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's other resources, what do you look for in them?
First thing we always look, and we talk about this on Shark Tank, right? Because we film, we've been doing it for 21 years, and we all get along now. We're all pretty good friends.
21 years?
21 years. I know, it's shocking. Well, we did it in Canada for 5.
Okay.
Then we brought it to America.
It originated in Canada. Okay.
It actually originated in Japan. And
who would have thought?
Who would have thought? And this year I did the Australian, Canadian, and American version. Not sure why.
Too much free time.
Also. Yeah, I don't know how. First thing we look for is always the entrepreneur. And we look for the purpose of the mission. Things are going to change. You're going to start a business. You're going to start a logistics company in order to sell to consumers. And your vision is to provide lower cost transportation, let's say, or logistics. You're going to think you're going to sell it to consumers. 6 months in, you're going to realize the cost of acquisition for consumers is too low, and then you got to go sell to businesses. Things change. It's very dynamic. If you don't have a bigger vision, you're not going to survive. So we always look, we tend to look for people that have a big vision. Airbnb isn't what it started out to look like. Uber wasn't what it, I mean, Uber originally started to take on taxis. I mean, it's just different. So you've got to have that purpose of mission. We look for people that are well-balanced and can communicate their idea. And we look for people that are great leaders.
What's well-balanced? You said it twice now. What do you mean by well-balanced?
I don't want to invest in a jerk. I don't want to invest in somebody who doesn't treat people with respect. Because inevitably, that comes back to you. Oh, my gosh, it's raining.
It is raining.
Look at this.
It is raining as we are
in this
podcast.
I'm in Riyadh, and it's raining.
It's raining.
That's so cool. How often does it rain?
Not very often. it is, however, November, which tends to be the rainy season.
Right. It's beautiful here, by the way.
Thank you.
It's so open.
It warms my heart when you say that, because I can feel it in your eyes and in the way you're saying
it. Oh, no, I definitely want to come back.
Thank you. Yeah. We would love to have you come back, really. I think there's a lot to see. In Riyadh as well, and in outside Riyadh, we have beautiful cities with beautiful landscapes, and the world simply does not know how beautiful Saudi is.
Wow.
Honestly. And obviously, the people, beautiful people. This is beautiful. People are taking videos and photos of this moment. Robert, did 9-year-old or 10-year-old Robert envision this Robert?
No. No, not in the least. You know, when I was, Mark Cuban, who's on the show with us, and I just had dinner, and we talked about this, and Mark said when he was 12 years old, he knew he was going to be wealthy.
Really?
Yes. When I was 12 years old, I just didn't want to be poor. So we came at it from a different place. I didn't know that you could own your own airplane till I was 24 years old. Somebody told me they owned an airplane. I was like, oh my gosh, how does that work? Is there like private airports? I had never met somebody who had started a business until I was 25, because my family was just so blue collar. So I never envisioned this, but my goal was not to get more stuff. My goal was to build a life that would make my family proud of me.
Family.
Yeah, family. Always comes back to that.
Always comes back, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Airplanes, cars, it's really nice.
It's
I will not say no
nice.
To more stuff.
Yeah. What would you tell your 12-year-old son?
The sun always rises tomorrow. I think part of why I'm not more successful is I was too anxious and desperate when I was in my 20s.
Okay.
I felt if it didn't literally happen tomorrow, I wasn't going to get there. And there's a great saying, people always overestimate what they can achieve in 1 year and underestimate what they can achieve in 10. We can change the world in 10 years. Look at your entire program here, 2030.
Saudi
will not look like it looks like now in 2030, but you can't do it in 1 year. So the advice I'd give me is just be a little more patient.
That's amazing. We were just telling you how Saudi has transformed in the last 7 years. And when you look at it from a one-year perspective, you're like, okay, that's not much. But I think when you look at it, it's still much, by the way. But I mean, when you look at it 7 years ago, it honestly
it's
looks
remarkable.
And feels like a different country.
Well, it only looks fast when you look back.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. I feel like Sara's going to kill me, by the way, because I'm taking my sweet time. Okay, I like this question. I asked you about your kids earlier, and can you tell me their names again?
Haven for heaven and Hudson. I'd love to tell you we thought about it. It's like I spent all this time thinking about Haven's name.
Yeah,
and then we were in New York, and my wife said, we're having twins. What are we going to name the boy? And I looked out the window. It was the Hudson River. And I said, Hudson. But I'll make up a story when he gets older so he feels special.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure he feels special. So as a renowned businessman, a respected entrepreneur and investor, what are your children's views of your success? I know they're still a bit young, but also they're at an age, I feel like, where they're quite aware of what's happening. What do you?
Well, they're 5 and a half, so their view of the world is constant. Meaning, unlike me, they've never grown up in a world where is different than what it is. And so the challenge for them is not to change their situation, right? I try to become successful to escape from poverty. Pain is a very, very powerful motivator. Pleasure is less so motivating, because pleasure requires discipline. It requires stuff that doesn't hurt you. When I was poor and I woke up every day, it was very tangible. If you're already in a good spot, getting somewhere is even harder.
It's really hard.
Really hard.
It's really hard.
Because it's easy to wake up and say, pretty good where I am. So for them, my challenge as a parent is instilling that level of discipline, desire, and want to do something great. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if they want to make money, I want them to do great things. If they want to be a marine biologist, I want them to be the best marine biologist, because they have the opportunity. And I also think there's a responsibility for them because they have the opportunity. So it's just different.
That's very relevant to a lot of us, by the way. It's it's honestly sometimes very obvious when in slightly like underprivileged communities where you can tell the work ethic, the discipline is there because they have no other option.
Yes.
For some of us that are a little bit more privileged, it is so much harder to keep going because, as you said, it's pretty okay where I am. What are some of the things that you can share with us that can make us, those that are coming from a little bit more privileged, but still want to do great things to keep, to kind of actually get there and not, you know?
It's a great question. I will tell you this. I mean, I've been very fortunate. I've been well off longer than I've been poor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have both perspectives. One of the greatest things in life is accomplishment. It's the sense of accomplishment. Mm. Nobody, a life well lived where you've accomplished something is a better life than one of luxury or sustenance or everything else as you get older becomes hollow. You know, when I was young, I said, oh my gosh, one day if I could buy a private plane,
wow,
it will mean everything to me.
I need a minute on that.
And then you buy a plane, and then you buy another plane, then you buy... And eventually, those things, and they're beautiful, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
I love that, but they're hollow. But my sense of accomplishment, nobody can ever take that away from me.
Mm.
And what I would say to anybody who comes from great privilege or great opportunity is, if you don't do something with it, you will look back and regret it. Your life is not about existing. Your life is about accomplishment. Do something that you're going to be proud of and that your family's going to be proud of. It doesn't have to be for money. It can be in anything.
Can you give us three kind of advice in how can we make sure that the journey we are on or what we think the sense of accomplishment is right for us?
So people come on our show all the time and say, I'm passionate about this or I'm passionate about that.
And it changes, I feel like.
What I've learned is at 20 or 21, you don't know what you're passionate about. Like, how do you know? I got into computer technology when I was 21. I thought computers were boring up until then. Now I'm probably one of the top experts in the world in my field. Passion finds you. You don't go out and find your passion. Meaning, you've got to be honest with who you are. I'm a pretty hyper guy. I like to go, go, go. I would not do well in a traditional business. So technology is a great fit for me. So I think the first thing is you have to fit your natural who you are to the industry you're in, right?
Like, I love that.
I would not be a good banker.
I love that.
I would not be a good insurance salesman.
So know who you are. And
try to find a field where it's consistent. The second thing I will tell you is, so I wanted to be an FBI agent, then I wanted to be an actor, then I wanted to be this and that. I produced the Winter Olympics for Canada when I was 19 years old. I was the youngest producer ever at an Olympic event. I thought I was going to be a film producer. Couldn't get a job, got into computers. So point number two is, when you find a field that suits who you are, stay with it.
Okay.
An expert is somebody who's been doing it longer than you.
Yeah.
So at 30, so I got into the computer security business at 21. By 30, I was one of the top people in the world. Why? It was a brand new field, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So young people, one of the big mistakes we see on the show with young people is they say, I'm going to get into the travel industry. They do it for a couple of years, and they're like, oh, I don't like it anymore. I'm going to go into logistics, or I'm going to go into fashion. And next thing you know, you're 30 years old, you've been in four fields, Nobody cares. You have no expertise. The world rewards value, not what you're interested in. Nobody cares what you're interested in. What can you tell me that's of value?
Maybe what can you tell me that I don't know?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I had a few people do this, and I'm acting like I can't see them because I've been doing this so much. Truly, truly, thank you. I can go on forever. I asked, like, by the way, I asked only like two questions from here. This has been amazing.
Lynn, this was such, thank you so much for having me. It's really opened my eyes. It's an incredible region with amazing young people that are the future. 20 years from now, this will be a completely different world in a good way, in a very good way.
I think even shorter than 20 years.
I know. You guys move so fast. Thank you.
Robert, thank you. Thank you so much.